Hey, this is Carlos Reyes with AllInNation.com, and you are listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 278.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
Do it. Will it happen? Is it going to work? I don't know. You're not good enough. You didn't grow up that way. You're not one of those people. Limiting beliefs are just treacherous in any business for any person, but have you ever been smuggled twice into the U.S. and abandoned and abused as a child? If you want to talk about limiting beliefs, you want to talk to Carlos Reyes, and that's why I'm excited to bring him up right after we thank our sponsor. Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Carlos Reyes. Carlos, how are you feeling today?
Amazing, brother. Amazing. I actually had a post this morning on Facebook where I was feeling very grateful after I dropped my third grader off. I was coming back into the house. You know, I live in a nice, beautiful gated community now. And I was filming, like, you know, the steering wheel. I was a little douchebag, I guess. I was filming the steering wheel of my vehicle and the gates opening up. And I said, I am so grateful because this is a miracle, right? Every day that I wake up on this side of the fence, right? It's a miracle for me. It's a blessing because I'm a kid from a small town in Mexico, you know, born into extreme poverty. So for me to go from that to where I am now in life, it's, you know, it's an absolute miracle. And I'm very grateful. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
I'm excited to have you. And I can't wait for you to dive in because when I get a lot of pitches and I don't tell everyone yes, but when I saw yours, it wasn't even a second thought. I literally think I put hell yes to my team because I was like, you sound like a movie, like legit. I mean, there's people that are like, I overcame this or my business partner screwed me over here. But I was reading it and I was like, this can't be for real. It was so extreme. And I'm so happy you are where you are now. And you know, the people you're helping and putting God first and everything. I just start us at the beginning and just go.
This is whatever you want. This is one of my educational brands, right? You see, it says God, family, hustle. You know, those are some of the principles that I definitely live by. And for me, you know, my story starts, like I was mentioning earlier, born into extreme poverty in Mexico. And being born into extreme poverty in Mexico is way different than being born into extreme poverty in America, right? So when I was born in Mexico, I was born into an abusive marriage. My father, she actually, my mother told me a story that when I was 2 years old, my alcoholic and drug addict father was beating my mother so badly that she said, if it wasn't for you at 2 years old telling your dad to stop hitting me, I think he would have killed me. That was a story that my mother shared with me. So after that happened, that was definitely the last time that happened, because my mother then fled this, the capital of Sonora, which is a northern state in Mexico. She fled down south to a very, very small town. It's a port. You know, a port is a piece of land embodied, you know, by water around, right? This little port was called Guaymas. And we moved there to my grandma's house, and we were so poor that, you know, for the first few years of my life, I didn't even know what electricity was or running water. You know, that's something that, like, we really, like, my grandmother, she had dirt floors, and we took showers out of a bucket. You know, my grandmother would actually warm up the water, bring it in a bucket, and then out of that bucket, we'd have a small little scooper, and that's how we would take showers. We had a washing board in the back where my mother and my grandmother would wash our clothes. We had a back house that my grandfather built with his bare hands that we would actually go back there to use the restroom. You know, it was a back house. You know, if people don't know what a back house is. Again, when you don't have plumbing, you don't have running water and electricity, these are some of the circumstances that you're going to live under. And we didn't know any better. That, you know, ignorance is bliss, because I didn't even know, like, to me, this was just the normal world until my mother had the vision of bringing her sons to the United States. She asked my grandmother if she can watch us while she attempted to make a life out here. First in California, this is the way it happened. She left to California, worked in the fields, got her amnesty paperwork, came back for us a year later. You know, it was a very hard time in my life. You know, I would, you know, as a little boy, I would definitely cry and I would put her picture under my pillow. Cause as a little boy, I didn't know why my mother left, you know? And yeah, my grandma would say, she's trying to make a better life for you guys. You know, she's going to come back. I promise. Back then, brother, there was no social media. The only way that she can stay in touch with us was through a telephone. Well, guess what? We didn't have a telephone. You know, we would schedule calls at like the neighbor's house and we would schedule one call a week. So imagine being without your mother for, you know, over a year. And then she finally, you know, makes enough money and saves enough money to come and pick you up and sneak you through a sewer system. The first time she had my brother on her left hand. She had me with her right hand. And we sneak through a sewer system in a small town called San Isidro, which is next to Tijuana, Mexico. It's in the San Diego border. And we get caught the first time, get kicked out, wait a few days, 48 hours, come back through that same sewer system. We make it. And then, you know, all that hard work, all that sacrifice, we only lasted, let me see, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. We lasted about a year and a half, 2 years. We failed financially. We were defeated financially. It was very difficult for a single mother who didn't speak English to economically make it, you know, rent of an apartment and taking care of her kids and et cetera. I mean, it was a very difficult time for us. So guess what? We failed. And I remember that drive home back to Mexico. My mother had a friend who had a black Nissan truck. We had all our belongings there. We're inside the truck and we're kind of just like, you know, we're discouraged, man. We're defeated. We went through so much to get to America in the first place. We only lasted about a year and a half, 2 years back to Mexico. And my mother and I came, I mean, at this point, I'm in the fifth grade. And we come up with the plan. We had a little bit of taste of the land of milk and honey, which was the U.S. We were like, holy smokes. Now it's really difficult to live here and take showers out of a bucket and go to the back house and use the restroom and wash our, you know, once we had a taste of electricity and running water in America, guess what? Now ignorance is no longer bliss. Now we've known in a whole nother world. And our objective, our primary objective, my mother and I, was to get back to America. So I started bagging groceries as a kid at a retail store called Lalay, L-E-Y. It's a huge chain retail store owned by people in China, the Chinese people own it. I'm bagging groceries. You know, I got my little apron, my little hat, my little name tag. I'm bagging groceries. I'm putting them in carts. I'm taking them out to their cars. And then I'm asking for a tip. So between me being a grocery bagger and my mother working at a resort, cleaning hotel rooms, we managed to save up enough money to send her back on a bus to Phoenix, Arizona. And another year went by and she's like, okay, here we go. Round number two, right? This time she learned from her failures. The first time she brought me first, you know, she's like, I can't bring everybody first. I got to bring you one at a time so we can actually make it economically. She pays a guy $25. And this is a coyote. This was a friend of her cousin's that knew this guy. This guy sneaks me through a hole in the fence in Nogales, Sonora. She waits for me on the other side at a McDonald's, contrabands me up to Phoenix, Arizona. In 1997, she started my paperwork to become a permanent resident of this country and eventually become a citizen of this beautiful country. And that's some of the stuff that I had to go through as a kid and a teenager, man.
I can't even fathom that because it's so inspiring. And people talk about limiting beliefs all the time. But what was it like once you got here? What limiting beliefs did you initially have going through all of that experience?
You know, for me, brother, I didn't, you know, I didn't grow up with any money. You know, even when we got to Phoenix, at some point we were on, you know, food stamps and WIC and cash assistance and rent assistance. But the one thing that I'm forever grateful to my mother was that my mother wasn't a limited belief type of person. My mother had vision. She had the vision to bring her sons over to this country. My mom made the sacrifices. She left her two kids at the time in Mexico, made the sacrifices to separate from, you know, her family and work her butt off to with the goal and objective to bring her sons in, to America and give them a better life. My mother had the work ethic, right? She had 2 to 3 jobs going at the same time, right? She took the necessary risk. She was definitely a risk taker. And she didn't have any limited beliefs, man. You know, she was a superhero. She was my superhero growing up. She didn't have limited beliefs. Therefore, I didn't have any limited beliefs because guess what? As a kid, when I would tell her as a 5-year-old, Mom, one day I'm going to have my own business and I'm going to take care of everything for you. I'm going to retire you. Well, she would say, yes, you are. She would say, yes, you are. You can do anything that you really put your mind to. You can do anything that you put your mind to and you work towards. And I was able to retire her in 2017. That was, 4 years ago? You know, everything's taken care of. She's retired. I retired her. I take care of everything for her. Everything. And, you know, I'm forever grateful of the adversity that I had to face. A lot of people nowadays are very entitled and they actually lack some adversity. They lack some adversity. They lack some challenge, right? Well, guess what? I had all that growing up and my mother was a superhero. She did not live by limitations and she lived by demonstration and her life is the epitome of not giving up. And to this day, she doesn't speak English. As a single mother, she chose to raise her kids here in America. She chose to put it all on the line. Honestly, her life was at risk on more than one occasion. And here we are, man. Like, if it wasn't for her, like, that is her legacy. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have the businesses that I have. This office that you just saw, I bought this building back in December of 2019. This is my building. I spent a few million dollars on this building. You know, I spent a lot of money rehabbing this building. You know, none of this would happen if I had limited beliefs, because a lot of our programming, believe it or not, happens between the age of 6 and 12. So for the parents out there, right, your words impact your children. Remember that. Your words, your own limited beliefs will impact the next generation, which are your children. So keep that in mind next time that you're saying that your child can do something or your child will not amount to something. Keep that in mind, because my mother never told me that. And here I am today. Thank God.
And I'm glad you are. And I appreciate you for sharing so deep into the story, because, you know, I was getting choked up when you were telling me parts of that. And as much as I want to say, I don't want it to happen to you or anyone, I know the reality. And I've changed my position on this the last couple of years, because the reality is, if you don't have any adversity, like you said, you can just coast through life pretty comfortably. I mean, if you grew up here and, you know, everything's just okay, I think it's a personal hell, because God gave us the gifts to and abilities to do anything we want and change the planet, change the world. And I personally like to do the same thing, and I'd like to think that I am, because that's my goal, is to exponentially elevate the identity of humanity. You know, I don't want to just sit here and play, you know, I have a lot of blessings too, and I want to take advantage of them like you. But the reality is, if you don't have any adversity, you're probably going to be comfortable. So as much as it's hard to like hear that and just, you know, feel it, it's like, you know what, good for you, good for your mom. And I'm happy for the both of you and your family, because, you know, how many people are you now able to impact that you've overcome it? You have this as an example, and it's not just a nice to do. I mean, you're living proof of it.
Nobody in the, at least in the private sector of real estate and residential investment, nobody in this country in the past 3 years has helped produce other seven-figure companies as much as I have these past 3 years. That's what allinnation.com is all about. If you take a look at some of the people that we've helped, from Florida to Columbus to New Jersey to Seattle to LA, you know, I've made my identity, I've made my reputation in this business, not by not by all the houses that I flip every single month in multiple states, not by all the money that I've made in this industry since 2015. I've made an identity and I've made a reputation. I've created a reputation because of all the people that I've been able to help. I've been able to help hundreds of people actually build seven-figure operations, and I've been able to help thousands of people build six-figure operations. And for that, you know, for that, I'm very grateful, because something that I've learned these past 3 years since I became a high-level coach is the more people that I help, the more that I'm blessed. The more it's I didn't believe this when someone told me this back in the day, right? Then I read this book called The Go-Giver, which is a great book. And it was insane. I'm like, wait a minute, this is actually happening right now in real life, like in real time. The more people that I continue to help, like, become the best versions of themselves and break, you know, break through financial freedom and lead their jobs and provide and serve those around them, man, the more that I'm able to elevate, the more that I lack nothing. So you don't get me wrong, brother, the first 3 to 5 years I spent building my, you know, my companies, right? And if people out there are wondering, well, what kind of companies do you have? I'm not a one-trick pony. For one, I'm a serial entrepreneur. You know, I'm a serial entrepreneur. My companies are very well diverse. When I started making a lot of money in real estate, the first thing I did was I started actually expanding into other sectors, like, you know, medical. I got two medical companies. I got a digital marketing agency. I got an education company. I got a solar company, right? I started actually taking all that money, not only investing it back into my real estate investment side on the marketing and hiring personnel and developing systems and processes, but I actually started buying out other companies and building other companies. So that's the one thing that I want to tell people is, you know, never be a one-trick pony. Never be a one-trick pony. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Make sure that you diversify. Diversify into other sectors. And if guess what? The easiest way to actually launch a business in another sector is to actually either partner up or hire an expert in that field, that specific sector. And that's something that I did with a lot of my ventures that I have going on now. But again, back to what I'm saying is, I actually didn't start serving people to the level that I'm serving now until I was able to say, hey, I built brick and mortar businesses, and now I'm able to help. I'm able to help other people, right? I tell people all the time, I'm 90% I'm a brick and mortar businessman, and 10% I'm a coach and educator. I make very little of my income, you know, and I'm a high level coach. I don't teach new people. You know, I don't teach new people. I teach people that are ready. They come to me when they're ready to start building their seven figure operation, right? And they pay me a good amount of money to help them. I only carry like 5 to 10 mentees per quarter for that reason, because I still have my family to take care of. I still have my businesses to run. You see what I'm saying? Right. It has to be an exchange, right? There's an exchange. Money is just, that's all it is. It's an exchange of energy. People come and pay me money for my energy and for my time and for my focus. So, you know, that's something that people out there need to really consider, is before you get out there and start serving others, make sure that you yourself build some credibility within your own community and your organization.
And I think it's great you're touching upon that, because even though you charge a good amount for it, as you should, overall, it's not like 80, 90%. Like you're saying, it's 10, maybe 15 tops.
Yeah. I was actually talking to one of my mentors, brother, if I were to tell you how much money I spend on mentorship every single month, you know, I spend well over between 17 and 20,000 every single month on my personal mentorship. I had an hour and a half call with one of my mentors this morning. It was from 9:30 to 11 in the morning. And, you know, we were talking about that. I was like, hey, you know, he's gonna have me read this book called The Impersonal Life. Cause I said, Hey brother. I said, you know, I don't need coaching money. Why do I do it? I was asking him, right? Cause this is what I do. I seek this type of insight from my mentors. And I said, why do I do it? You know? And then he started breaking down some of the reasons why I'm able to do it. I really do love impacting other people's lives. I really do. And guess what? I've been able to impact thousands of people in the real estate community. And guess what? At no charge, you know, at no charge, just by content events, you know, like things like that, that we do. And then the high level stuff, which is what I really love. I really love helping the high level people. Like pretty much I do, man, when it comes to systems, personnel, marketing strategies, processes, right? I walk them like I'm a play-by-play type of coach. The only thing I don't do for them is I don't do the physical work, which they're able to do. But guess what? Guess who's coaching them play-by-play-by-play, week-by-week-by-week? It's me, right? It's me. Hey, we're going to, today's your infrastructure call. We're going to spend the first 2 weeks on infrastructure. Hey, we're going to start some marketing streams now. You know, hey, we're going to start building out the business, you know, hiring. Who are we going to hire first? How much are we going to pay them? I do all that with my high-level people, and that's why I'm only able to actually coach 5 to 10 people per quarter, because to me, it's not really about like take, like a lot of these other guys, right? I don't care. Like you couldn't pay me enough money to step away from my priorities. But guess what? I do love serving. I love seeing other people win, and I love seeing other people unlock their potential and serve not only themselves, not only their families, but actually start, man, when you start seeing the way that what you've said and what you've done impacted them. And now it's like a domino effect. Now they're impacting their communities, right? And it's a beautiful thing, man. It always comes back around.
I got a couple questions I want to ask you, but this one is the closest to what we're talking about here. And I want to ask you, why do you love working with the high level people so much?
Commitment. They're more committed. I don't have time for it. And yeah, I'm able to help them through some limitations. Yeah, they're human. We're human. We all have our limiting thoughts, right? But I don't want those to become limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
You see, whenever they have limited thoughts, I coach them through that. Yeah, sometimes they'll have some breakdowns because guess what? We're trying to build a seven-figure company here, you know, as far as like their companies, right? There's a lot of uncomfort. What does the mind seek? It seeks survival and comfort. Well, guess what? You know, when they get into those phases of like, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and blah, 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 I said, hey, listen, you know, this is what I'm here for. Use some of my courage to overcome that fear. You know, use me to help you get out of those ruts of limited beliefs. You have a limited thought come, hey, we're not going to entertain that. Why don't we counter that with an empowering thought and entertain that thought and keep moving forward? You know, this is part of the growing process. You're not the first entrepreneur who has, you know, thought of limited thoughts, and you're not going to be the last. Everybody goes through these phases. So that's what I'm here for. That's why I like coaching the high level people. They're just more committed. They're just more committed.
I've noticed that too with the business book clients that we've published for. The higher the commitment, the higher the transformation. They're not kicking it with a stick.
I love it. And nothing against newer people out there, because guess what? I still get to serve them at some, you know, at some level, you know, with content and YouTube and all this other stuff. But
oh, for sure. That's why I love having the show. If someone goes, how do we get started? It's a lot easier than saying it's going to be a five-figure price tag. I mean, there's, you know, I got books, I got the show, I got the YouTube, you know, all that content. And, you know, it's not free to produce this the way
It's not.
So, I mean, there's so much we can do, and I love that you're covering it. So I want to go back to the multiple companies. You said don't be a one-trick pony. At what point do you go from I'm going to focus and build up and be well-known and get to the point where I have the credibility and all this? When do you make the shift? Because you said diversify, but also you said don't start with that. When do you shift from just me to everyone else and going wider?
Absolutely. So I want people to understand that you should never even look to diversify and expand into other ventures until you fully believe that your business is automated, systemized, and delegated, right? Until you feel comfortable about that, then you can look to expand into other ventures, because a lot of people make the mistake of expanding too soon. A lot of people make the mistakes of entertaining shiny objects, right? Without even having their primary, bread-winning operations, without those being automated, systemized, and delegated. How many times have you actually seen that happen, right? They grow too quickly. They let go of what mattered the most, which, you know, taking care of first things first, you know, and that's one thing that I've seen a lot of people do is, yeah, I'm a serial entrepreneur. And then they start to diversify everywhere. And then, like, you become a jack of all trades and a master of none. You got to make sure that you feel extremely, extremely ready and able, right? And your capacity can actually handle the expansion. So a lot of people need to definitely keep that in the back of their minds.
And as far as the limiting beliefs, what would you say to someone who's afraid to go to that next level or afraid to just push through, or, you know, they have some success, but they just, there's that resistance. You know, we all face it, but what would you say to someone who's going through that and they want to go to 7 or 8 figures or plus?
I understand.
And they're just hesitating.
It's easier said than done for me to tell them, like, hey, you know, what you're dealing with is something that we all deal with. You know, your scarcity and your fear and your, you know, your doubt, you know, your uncertainty, that's something that everybody goes through. But guess what? The more that you train yourself to push past those phases of your life, the higher your tolerance for risk will become. And yes, the brain is like a muscle, proof of concept, right? You're going to run into something that scares the living crap out of you. And if you push through that, right, guess what? I mean, you're going to become so much stronger and your mind's going to say, wait a minute. Okay, he just proved to me that we can actually push through something like this. So the next time that you run into some type of speed bump of fear, uncertainty, and doubt, you know, your mind's going to be ready to push through that. And at some point, man, you just become fearless and limitless. It comes with time and it comes with a lot of practice.
And a lot of failure too.
Failure. I think that, you know, there's definitely, I know this sounds very cliche to say, but there's been a lesson in every failure for me. There's been a lesson, and I'm very grateful. You know, sometimes God has the mercy to allow you to fail at a small scale, learn your lesson there, then actually like failing at a big scale where you can actually lose your entire livelihood. Be grateful for the small failures. You know what I mean? Be grateful for this because there is a lesson learned, and you're not going to gain the experience and the wisdom if you don't fail. You got to fail. I failed a lot of ventures before I actually chose the right vehicle, which was real estate. You know, invest. I don't have a real estate license, by the way. I'm not an agent. I have agents that work for me, but I'm a real estate investor. You know, I'm a real estate investor. I started broke. I started with zero money, no credits. You know what I mean? I did this thing called wholesaling. I wrote an entire book about it. It's called The Best Wholesaling Book Ever, which people can actually download that book for free. I stopped charging for the book after we sold like 30,000 copies because I don't care about being a, you know, what is it? Best author and, you know, putting that label on myself. I mean, that will come at some point, God willing, right? You know, New York Times best offer, whatever. You know, I actually wrote that book because a $10 book changed my life at one point. I didn't have money to invest into courses and mentorship. I read a $10 book. It was $9.99. I took the information that that book gave me. I took massive action. I made rough draft moves, and the rest was history, man. I started to figure it out by experience, by failure, by failure, by failure. That's how I became one of the top real estate investors in the residential sector by not the things that, not the mentorships and the education, by failing, by taking action and like learning from those failures, man. So be grateful for those experiences.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. And I actually structured one of my first courses that, you know, I know what it was like when I had $5 and, you know, I used it to put 99 cents on a book. You know, the shipping cost more than the book and I bought highlighters with it. But that, you know, those books can get you to that next phase, to the next phase. So I actually structured one of my first courses that if you bought the book, you get the $20 back off of it. So that way it literally would never cost you anything to keep advancing up. And those small failures you talk about, you know, those are probably the best thing and the best investment because I'm you got me smiling. You got me thinking of a couple where I'm like, yeah, I'm glad it only cost me $5 or $10,000 because it saved me the 200 in the long run.
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. We closed down a company. It was an import export company called inventorycity.com. We definitely lost well over six figures in that company, negative, right? We lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the first thing, it was crazy because I don't look at money the way a lot of other people look at money. You know, I have more money than I have time, unfortunately, these days, right? These days, it wasn't always like that, obviously, but we lost definitely a few hundred thousand in that company, Inventory City. And I look at my business partner, I said, hey, I hope next year we lose a few million. He says, what? Yeah, because if we're losing a few million, what does that tell you? That tells you that we're making a hell of a lot more money that we can actually afford to lose a few million dollars a year. So that, see, I try to look at the positivity in everything, even in all failures. You know what I mean? I look for the lesson. I don't ask God why me. I ask, you know, my questions to God is, hey, what are you trying to teach me from this? You know, these are things that, you know, and questions direct the focus of the mind. So if you don't ask the right questions, you're not going to get the right answers. And that's something that I want to encourage people out there. Don't look at yourself as a victim. Whoa, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Instead, shift that and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me with this? Where's the lesson? Start looking for that when it happens.
Yeah, that's a huge expert authority insight, because it's so much better to be the victim, the victor, than the victim. And unfortunately, so many people just bop around, and it's, you know, I can't, like I said, my own personal hell would be just being complacent and just staying the same. It's like, for a day, let alone a week, a month, a year. But unfortunately, people do it for 5, 10, 15, 20, sometimes their whole life. It's like, how? I can't even wrap my head around how. You could literally read a book a year, and after a decade, I think you'd be better off. I mean, rough estimate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for a lot of people out there, unfortunately, what does the mind look for, right? We said, hey, the mind looks for survival and comfort. Well, mm-hmm. It's easier to just be a victim. It's easier to just point the fingers at everybody else except yourself. It's easier, right? It's easier to just victimize yourself and say, oh, I couldn't do it because of this reason. I failed because of that person. It's easier to say those things. But you know what? Your life, if you just do this one thing and you start taking accountability for yourself, your life will change for the rest of your life. Your life will improve dramatically. And even the people around you will begin to see you live by demonstration, and their lives will eventually change, because people around you, but whether you believe it or not, your kids, your wife, people around you, you have one of the biggest impacts and influences in their lives. So you have to be very careful with the way that you're living yours.
Wow. More great insights there. I appreciate you for sharing all of that. I want to ask you about your biggest transformation you've been able to give to someone.
You know, a lot of people that come to me, brothers, they come with the intention of building a 7-figure operation, real estate investment operation in different parts of the country. But what they end up getting is all of me, right? And all of me is, I have to make sure that we take care of the internal stuff before we even start to take care of the external stuff. Because guess what? Our businesses and our surface lives, like the surface level of our lives, they're just a reflection and an extension of what we have going on in here and in here. So that's one thing that I pride myself in. I make sure, and I have to lead by demonstration. I have to, you know, I have to be a great husband. I don't have to, but I choose to, right? I choose to great husband. I choose to be a great father. I choose to be a great son, a great brother, a great business partner, a great servant of the people. I choose to be those things. Therefore, when someone comes and takes, you know, they're like, hey, I'm enrolling it because I want to be rich. Well, guess what? I make you rich here, and then we make you rich here if you're ready. So that's what I pride myself in. I pride myself in really going after the things that really matter in this life.
That's huge. And I'm so glad you're doing it, because so many people just seek the, you know, how do I get more leads and I want more customers? And I've even said in my own talks to the audience, you know, hey, I can help you with, you know, a lot of things just like you can. And I go, okay, who here would love 10,000 new leads? Everyone raises their hand. I go, how many of you would believe you could handle it if all that happened right now? And you see most of the, not everyone, and I love it because some people actually are ready, but most of the room generally is like, now, if your subconscious doesn't believe it's even possible, what percentage chance do you think it's actually going to happen?
It's almost zero. Almost 0%. Yeah, absolutely. That's one thing that people need to understand is, you know, you can't control the thoughts. You can't control the thoughts, but you can control which thoughts you choose to entertain. If your subconscious mind is sending you a signal of limitation, you know, limited beliefs and you know, pretty much your own insecurities, right? Well, you can control what comes after that. How do I offset that thought? How do I empower myself? You know, thoughts are just like clouds, man. Like, you literally can take a thought and evaporate it like you would a cloud and say, I'm going to replace that negative thought that doesn't serve me with something that actually does serve me. You know, because that's the one thing that I want people to really ask themselves is, when you get these limited beliefs, you got to ask yourself, remember what we said? I said, the questions direct the focus of the mind. When you get a limited thought, a limited belief, you have to ask yourself this: how does this serve me? How does this serve others, right? Well, this doesn't serve me. This doesn't serve me. So why am I choosing to entertain this? You see, a lot of people don't even think, they're not even aware that they can actually change their entire mindset. They can shift their entire thought process by choosing to do so. They don't know that. They don't know that. And it's crazy because one of the first things you ask me is like, hey man, let's get into limited beliefs. Well, that's right up my alley, man, because that's the one thing that has really, really saved me and propelled me to where I am today in life. Thank God.
And I did want to jump in because you're such a great example of it, and not everyone wants to talk about it, and not everyone does talk about it, and the people who do talk about it don't necessarily have it that good.
Right? Everybody's like, let's talk about money. Let's talk about cars. I mean, that stuff gets old. That stuff gets old. Believe me. Guys, I don't think that everybody out there that's listening, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I remember when I had my first six-figure month back in July of 2016. Well, guess what? July, August, September. By the time September came around and I had my third straight six-figure, when I say six-figure, I'm talking about net, like in my pocket. When I had my third six-figure month, I was like, okay, that was fun. Took me my whole life to like see that kind of money. Now I'm seeing that kind of money. What's next? You see what I'm saying? Right?
Because you weren't concerned about groceries at that point and the everyday stuff.
My wife and I made a plan this morning the simple things are what means the most to me now. You ready? Mm-hmm. We were like, hey, babe, we should take the kids to Sprouts. Yeah, we can do a family shop, like a grocery shopping thing today with the family. She actually said that to me. I said, let's take the kids to Sprouts because guess what? You know, I'm teaching my kids not to eat like candy that's sugary. So we'll go grab snacks from Sprouts. And, you know, there's sugar-free, like, you know, chocolate, peanut butter, peanuts and all kinds. You know, Sprouts has all kinds of goodies, right? Sprouts is like Trader Joe's. It's kind of a healthy store, grocery store. So, you know, today, like that means the world to me. To be able to just take my children out to, you know, Sprouts and like have a family night, man, to me, that means the world to me. And back then, I operate out of selfishness and pride and ego. And, you know, my kids really started to ground me and change that perspective. I started to really deteriorate the ego. And don't get me wrong, we all need ego, some kind of ego, but it's just a matter of how you leverage it, right? Is it destroying you, or are you leveraging it to the point where it's helping you? You see, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand, you know, the context of what I just said. And that's okay, because God willing, they get to a level of understanding that they actually will understand that, you know, let go of your pride, let go of your ego, you know, like start serving with here, with heart, with soul, and your life's going to become much more joyous and prosperous. So.
Wow. That's incredible. How did you make the shift? Because were you reading self-help books when you were younger? Did you start going to seminars, events? Like, how did you get to this point in this specific area? Because you're clearly so strong with it.
Well, you know what, brother? I'll tell you what. It's a matter of I started making all this money back in 2015, 2016. And I really thought that when I made a whole bunch of money, I was going to be super happy. I was like, when I make a whole bunch of money, right? I bought in 2018, I bought like one of my dream cars. It was a Rolls Royce Wraith, you know, in 2018, you know, those cars that have like two doors and it was super cool. You know, it was like, oh, beautiful. I got my dream car. Woo. That lasted like 30 days. You see what I'm saying? So, right. I rarely drive it now. So I was like, okay, money. Okay. That's going to fulfill me. Nope. Didn't happen. Cars, that's going to fulfill me. Then, you know, watches didn't happen. Okay, so what's going on? What's happening? Brother, I had a full mental breakdown in September of 2017, right? I started to neglect like other areas of my life. I neglected my health. I wasn't working out. I wasn't eating properly. I started neglecting my family. Oh, I got work. You're a priority, but you're just not the priority, right? So, and after that whole thing happened, I was like, okay, what's happening, right? Because you have to understand, brother, that things that happen to us on a physical, like on a physical aspect, it's just a symptom of something deeper. There's a root cause of what's going on, right? You get anxiety, you get depression, there's a root cause. It's just a symptom. Depression and anxiety, they're just a symptom. Stress, it's a symptom. Right? You got to look deeper. So then I started really hiring, what I tell you earlier, right? I started hired a spiritual mentor. I hired two personal development coaches, and they have really changed my life. And they've not only changed my life, but I hired one of my personal development mentors, I hired that person for my wife and my daughter. And my daughter, because I didn't want to leave.
And how old is your daughter now?
She's in the third grade. She's 8 years old. So when I started investing into my personal development, my life definitely started to change for, you know, and then my wife now, like, my wife's a whole different person. My wife is a whole different person. When I invested into her personal development and my my daughter's personal development, the whole game just changed for my family.
But you weren't doing any of this to get to the point of six figures a month in 2015-16.
No, that was just brute. Brute force. That was hustle and ambition and, you know, adversity and right. That was brute force. But once I got there, because remember, when you're poor your whole life, what are you thinking, right? You're thinking that when you become successful and rich and, you know, you have all this money and everything you ever wanted in life, right? You really believe that that's like, oh, I'm going to be the happiest person ever. And then you come to the realization it's a huge letdown, right? It's like, oh man, become a millionaire didn't actually bring, you know, the fulfillment that I expected. It doesn't. So then you have to seek otherwise. You have to start seeking internal, not external, right? And you got to look inward, not outward. You're like, okay, so what does make me happy? Well, I know it's not the money and the cars and the watches and the jewelry and blah, 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 and the money in the bank. Okay, what's going to make me happy, right? So then you begin to really seek for that answer. And then you find out that it's like all the other stuff that really matters. It's like operating from your heart, not your mind, right? You get out of your head, you know, start operating from your heart, right? That's going to make you very happy. Serving others, that's going to make you very happy, right? Impacting other people's lives and helping them elevate. That's going to
make contribution.
Contribution. What makes me happy now, brother, is living a life of significance. You know, that's what really makes me happy. Living a life of significance and servitude, not only starting with my wife and my children, right? But also my community. Like even here, I got plenty of employees here and I serve them and I love watching them win. Watching them win, like one of my guys, he's going to have an $18,000 month already. It's already scheduled and it's only half the month, right? He's a sales guy. He already has $18,300 that's going to come to him. And we're only halfway through the month. Guess what? If the guy gets to 25, 30K, that's going to bring me so much joy to watch the joy in him, to watch him win and his life change. That makes me happy. Now, growth to me, growing, and not only just vertically, growing, right? Growing in all aspects of my life, every area of my life.
Yeah, that's personal, business, internally, externally.
I need to be aligned in all. Yeah, it's like this. I've seen people become very financially successful and their marriages are nowhere to be found, right? I've seen people become very well off financially and then they're separated, like their children hate them. You see what I'm saying?
Unfortunate.
I don't want that. I don't want to live my life like that. There's no repeats in this life. You get one life. There's no sequel. I don't want to live my life like that. I want to live my life to my absolute most capacity and potential. And you know, I want to love my children. And I want to, one day, God willing, if he grants me this, I want to be on my deathbed and my children saying, man, daddy was the best. Daddy was the absolute best. He really showed up for us. You see? So that's the kind of life I want to live for the rest of my life.
Well, you're definitely being an example of it. And like you said earlier with the domino effect, it's not just your family, it's all the other families. And it's not just your employees and team and staff's families. It's all the people that they're around. And then the other people that, you know, can be watching and learning from you. They might never, ever meet you, but it's cool as heck when they're like, I really appreciated your book, your show, your this, that, the other thing. And it's like, you might never meet them. It might just be an email or a message or a comment or whatever. But
I run into that all the time. There's people that they're like, I'll have like other speaker friends. You know, they're like, they're on these, you know, they're like on other stages and stuff. Like one of my buddies was on a stage in LA last week and he FaceTimed me because like, hey man, this guy said that you impacted and you changed his life. And he's FaceTimed me and I'm like, well, give him the phone. And I have a small convo with him and, you know, thank God, like that's the one thing that will never change about me is because of where I come from, man. Like my principles, you know, my core values are always going to be there. Like if you say hello to me on the street, like I'm going to see like, hey, what's up, brother? What's going on? How can I serve you? Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't have a need for fame. I don't have a need for any of that. I don't care. I don't, it, when you're really fulfilled here, you don't care about the external stuff, because ultimately what I seek, brother, is peace of mind. That's ultimately, that is what I seek above everything, right? I seek peace of mind. I seek love. I seek joy in my life. That's it. I just want to operate at a beautiful frequency every single day. I don't care about the other stuff.
Now, when people are controlled by the external, look at my new whatever, or look at me, they might not have anything new. They just, you can tell they're just going for attention. What would you say are some of the symptoms of that? Because I know it's not just any one correlation, it's multiple things. But what, in your experience, what would you say are some of the things that make people want to try to be more flashier and look at me and just this?
And I've been there. Let me tell you this, right? I believe, like, based off my experience as an entrepreneur, there's definitely three phases that, like, entrepreneurs go through. The first phase is survival, right? We're all just trying to make it. We're trying to survive. We're trying to build something, right? That's the first phase. And then once you actually build something, you start making all this money, you go through the second phase, which is status, where a lot of people, 95% of people, they stay stuck in status. Oh, look at me. I'm the greatest. Look at my car. Look at my jewelry. Look at all the money. Look how successful. They never actually make it past that stage. And what did we talk about earlier? I'm at a phase where it's the most beautiful phase. If you get past the status phase, you get to that phase, which is significance, right? Significance and servitude. That's where I am today. And I just want to encourage everybody out there that if you are still stuck in that status phase, you really need to try to dig yourself out of there, because that's temporary and it will not bring everlasting happiness and fulfillment to you. At some point, you know, if you attach your identity to that status, you might have a really, really bad drop. You got to be careful. You got to be careful.
That's powerful, and that's another great expert authority insight. I could have asked you that for what I'm going to do next, but we're going to do the wheel of whatever. And this is a random question, but I'm seriously, like, you're just spitting so much fire here. I kind of want to just keep going and not do this, but you're amazing, and I have no doubt if you haven't done a 6-hour training in person yet, you definitely should, because anyone in the audience, I know Expert Authority World right now, including myself, is just blown away. So thank you for that.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
All right. So the wheel of whatever is just that. Something fun I came up with hundreds of episodes ago. And do you want yellow or black?
Black. I love black. As you can see, black attracts.
I do, but I also see the yellow on the logo. At least it looks yellow.
It's gold. So I love black because it attracts light. I love black.
Okay. Well, don't blame you for yellow and black either. So my question, stopped on one of those. So my question for you is, where do you see everything you're doing now, the momentum you have, where's this going to be in 10, 20 years from now?
You know, for me, brother, it's like, My goals are legacy, right? Like, really leave something for my children. You know, sometimes I watch them sleep and I look at my 2-year-old. I got a 2-year-old baby girl. I got a 3rd grader, an 8-year-old daughter. I got 2 daughters, right? They really bring my heart out. It's exactly what I needed. And that's why God sent them to me. You know, I look at them, I watch them sleep, and I'm like, you know what? I want to change the financial trajectory of my family. You know, I want to change the mental trajectory of my family. And for me, that's what it comes down to. I will, whatever God needs me to do, I'm his vessel. And I know that if I follow, right, if I follow and I stay on his path, there's no way that I could go wrong. So if God wants me to serve others the way that I've been serving and build these beautiful, amazing companies, I'll do that. And if God wants me to, you know, retire now and be a freaking pastor or preacher in Alabama, then I'll do that too. Whatever he wants me to do, you know, and that's the beautiful thing is I'm just living, you know, like day by day, brothers, like whatever he brings my way, I know that it's the right move. So I'll continue to abide, you know, I'll continue to abide and comply with whatever God has in store for me. God makes no mistakes. You know that, you know, God made everything, right? He made everything. And how many mistakes did he make making everything? Absolutely none. So I know for a fact that my life is by design, and I just want to be able to fulfill that purpose and potential.
Wow. Amen to that.
For sure.
Definitely stand in agreement with you on that one. All right. Well, we're going to thank our sponsor and come back for the Imperfect Action Round.
You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch, unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. Again, I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now, I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
And we are back with the Imperfect Action Round. Carlos, are you ready to take imperfect action?
Let's do it.
Got 3 rapid-fire questions for you, 60-second or less answers. The first one is, what is the fastest path to the profits?
Choosing the right vehicle. Choosing the right vehicle. Now, it's only a matter of time. Like, you're going to choose some vehicles. Like, I'll give an example. You know, I remember flipping cars from the auction. I remember doing mortgages. I remember, you know, I chose all these different vehicles. And sometimes you're going to have to do that at some point when you actually strike gold and you find the right vehicle. You're going to get there very quickly once you put all your time, energy, and focus into that right vehicle. So choose the right vehicle.
Excellent. Number 2, what is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way they can fix it?
Limited beliefs, actually. They don't have a very a high tolerance for risk. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have to break away from that scarcity mindset. And that's a big component on why some folks are not where they need to be. So limited beliefs, you've got to overcome those limited beliefs.
Now, what would you say is the tolerance for risk versus where you're just being smart? So I know that you want to have a tolerance for risk, but where's the point where you have such a tolerance, it might be adversarial?
It's for me, it's calculated risk now, right? It's calculated risk. And what I want to tell people out there, unfortunately, the common mistake that I see is most of the time they won't even bet on themselves. You know, that's the problem. Like, they won't bet on themselves. And one thing that I always tell people is, hey, man, if you bet on yourself, then guess what? God will go all in with you. Bet on yourself. God will go all in with you.
Wow. Okay. That's powerful. And thank you for the personal reminder of that.
Absolutely.
Number 3, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
I think if you serve them from the heart, right? Serve them from the heart. There's a lot of people that stay in our programs, that stay in our community, and that's because they get something here that they don't get anywhere else, and they get connection. They feel like it's family. So I want to encourage people out there to really care and go above and beyond for your clients. Right. Don't make it a transact, like don't make it so transactional. Make sure that you truly do care. And when you care, people know that you can't fake energy. You can't fake frequency. And when you really do care about your clients, you make raving fans out of them, and they go and tell 1,000 other people. So serve from the heart. Always, always, always operate from the heart.
I agree 100%. Thank you for that. Great answers. What books would you recommend to Expert Authority World?
Yeah, one book that changed my entire life is called The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. That book changed my entire life. on a mindset level. And then another book that I really love is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It's a very good book for a lot of people out there. Okay, I'll give you one last one, okay? On the spiritual side, Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Outwitting the Devil. Very, very good book.
All good. Very, very great recommendations. If you got more, you're welcome to do 2-3 more if you want. I'm sure you could list off 30 if you wanted to.
I love The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. Yeah. I love that book. What else? What other books do I really? Oh, Hidden Messages in Water. That was a very good book. That was about energy and words.
Okay. Haven't heard of that one yet. That's cool.
Yeah. Very, very 150-page book. I love Traction by Gino Wickman. That was one of my favorite books too. So plenty of good books out there.
Excellent. Thank you for those. Where would you like people to learn more?
Just follow me on social media. I'm very active for the most part. Carlos Reyes, very easy to find on Instagram. Carlos Reyes. Man, reach out to me. You know, let me know that you heard me on this podcast and let me know how I can serve you.
Excellent. Well, thank you for everything. You're just a wealth of wisdom, and I thoroughly enjoyed this, and I wish we could go for 5 hours because I know you have it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, Expert Authority World, we have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day, and God bless. You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.